All right, what's up, everybody? It's Nick Sarnicola here, episode 33, Forged by Fire. A little bit of a unique concept in terms of a podcast. There's a lot of podcasts out there talking about entrepreneurship, success, what it takes to make it. And what we focus on is, you know, people that have been successful and then that fire kicked in, not like the fire of desire, but like Rome is burning. And they were forged by that fire to come out of it at the highest level of success. So we focus more on, you know, the part that's bad and how the hell we overcome that and make it out of it. My quick backstory, originally from Michigan, super blue collar, middle class upbringing. All four grandparents worked in the same factory, had a trickle down effect. I got introduced to direct sales networking at 18, became a millionaire at 25. Company went out of business, built a company or started a company called Visalus, which was famous for Body by Vi, the 90 Day Challenge. And over the last 10 years of that company, every peak and every valley of the highest and lowest level you can imagine, from being acquired by a publicly traded company, being spun out to be our own publicly traded company, canceling that the week of the IPO, foreclosing on the company that bought us because they didn't pay us our last $105 million. Every product launch, failure, success, lawsuit, all of it. We did a couple billion in sales, 3.5 million customers, blah, blah, blah. So that's my quick story. I've got an unbelievable guest today, Alex Morton, who just flew in from Peru only for this podcast. No, so he was already flying here from Peru. I flew in from Italy today. So if you know, I'm not the normal energy or the brain's not working, that's why. So I appreciate you doing a 3-day event. You've been on a world tour. It's your first day back here to Miami. I can't even call it home because you're not officially here home. And you're willing, before you go to bed, you got your cardio in, I saw.
I did.
Got some cardio in. And then you're like, let's get over here and do a podcast. So grateful for that.
Yeah.
So tell everyone just kind of that 3-minute version. What's the Alex Morton journey of where you started and where you're at today? And then we're going to dive into kind of the micro parts of that story.
Yeah, well, I'm excited to be here. You know, I tell everybody I'm a normal guy. I'm from Midwest also. You know,
Ohio.
Columbus, Ohio.
Yeah.
Bexley, Ohio. Small town. Yeah. Two pizza shops.
Who's it going to be? Michigan or Ohio State?
I don't like... I'm actually a Michigan fan. I actually hate Ohio State.
Let's go, bro.
I really do. Go. I grew up, everyone was a Buckeye. So yeah. I do. You guys.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So go blue. Okay.
I'm looking to lose. Two pizza shops, two ice cream parlors. I tell people I didn't grow up poor, I didn't grow up wealthy. I grew up kind of, you know, upper middle. You know, my parents were entrepreneurs at a young age. I saw work ethic. I saw just, it was normal for me to see them working hard 7 days a week. So I grew up with this mentality of like, okay, if I work hard, I can have, you know, nice things.
Because those are retail. So those are weekends and those are evenings. And
7 days a week.
Yeah.
My mom, you know, I tell people I got like the lucky sperm club, I guess, with parents.
Yeah.
You know, like they've been married for over 35 years and they've just so much love in the house and so much just desire. And they always wanted to give me and my sister like the best of the best, right? Yeah. And they did the best they could do. So go to high school, you know, 18 years old, everyone's going to college, right? So I'm like, okay.
So you're supposed to do.
You're going to go to college. And I apply to Ohio State, they tell me no. Apply to Indiana, they tell me no. Apply to Oklahoma, they tell me no. Apply to Arizona State, and they're like, yeah, you're in.
I didn't know that part of the story.
They let everybody in, right? So I
should have went to Michigan State. They let everybody in.
Yeah,
too.
I want to go to the weather, the sunshine, and you know, the parties, you know?
Yeah.
So I go to ASU, and at 18, I see $1 million listing on TV, the real estate show. My mom's like, hey, these guys like have hair like you and they're making money selling real estate. You know, check this out. Cause I always said I wanted to be a millionaire at a young age. Like, I don't know how I was gonna do it, but I always wanted to do it. So I got into real estate at 18, made some money with that. And then when I was 21, I got invited to this meeting, this opportunity. My dad's buddy sent him this orange juice and he drank it, his cholesterol, blood pressure went down. I went to this meeting, super long story short, I said no, I think 7 times.
Oh, I didn't know that.
7 times. And then one night, a young guy, 25 years old from San Diego, came into Tempe. He was making 10 grand a week. And I said, you know, this guy can do it. He's not the smartest dude in the world. You know, so can I? I
got
in and a lot has happened since then, 76 countries around the world. And grateful to be here with you. And a lot of people, I'm gonna say it, a lot of people may not know this, but when I got involved in relationship, direct sales, network marketing, I got a hold of YouTube at 21. I remember the night, Tempe, Arizona, $400 a month from my bedroom, and I'm Googling and YouTubing people in this industry. And I gotta say, and this is the truth, you know, I don't tell lies, I tell it straight all the time. You know, you were by far the number one person I studied on that first $0 to $1 million income. Like straight up, you had videos. I don't know if it was Facebook, but it was a lot of YouTube.
Yeah.
You sold out the Miami Heat Arena.
Yeah.
It was you, Holton Bugs, Jeff Roberti. But man, like I saw you as like a little bit older version of me. And I'm like, shit, this guy has got it going. So I wanted to tell you, thank you.
Well, I take no credit for that because we never got a chance to work together directly in that. And you just, you did your homework and studied it and did it better. I remember getting the call, or maybe it's just text message, and be like, hey, you got to check this guy out. This guy does you better than you do. And that's when we started to just communicate a little bit. And then it just got so comfortable. You're like, hey, do you got a slide deck? Or I saw this training. I'm like, yeah, of course. Like, so I love that about you. He's like, you weren't shy about it. You're like, hey, I saw this training that you did. I want to do it. Do you got the slides? And you know, for everyone that's watching, anyone can research different individuals and watch different videos. Right. That doesn't make, like, you had the most unbelievable tenacity and drive and commitment and work ethic.
I appreciate it.
So thank you for the kudos, but we're not gonna let you get off that easy on the success side of this. So I understand how you started, and we're gonna spend a lot of time in the middle. Talk to us about the last 3-4 years. How much in sales, how much in revenue, how many millionaires you created? Tell us about this last awesome 1,000+ days.
You know, I made my first million, 24 years old. I wanted to do it before I turned 25. So stuff happened, we'll get into that. But then in 2016, I kind of saw the future, I guess.
Yeah.
People started talking about Forex and Bitcoin and e-commerce. And I come from like it was all products. It was tangible vitamins and energy drinks and protein shakes and stuff like that. But I remember talking to Gary V, and Gary V said, I think it was 2014, we were in Vegas, we shot a little video together, and I'm like, how do I really get wealthy? Because at that point, he's like, you know, like my first book came out, he's like, you know, you've won kind of in this swimming pool, but you know, what's next for you? And I'm like, dude, I don't know. I said, how do I really get wealthy? He said, if you can get somewhere before everybody else gets there and wave the flag and get everybody to go to that place, you can become wealthy. So in 2016, I joined a company with less than 1,000 customers in it. Most people told me, don't do it.
Less than 1,000 customers.
Less than 1,000 people in the whole deal, right? And I was getting, you know, offers from this and that and the other, but you know, some stuff happened before, and I said, I wanna do it one more time the right way. I'm gonna go all in one more time. And I kind of saw where technology and digital marketing and stuff was going. So I got into a certain company, and we went from 800 and something customers to hundreds of thousands. We've done, over a billion in sales. It's not just me, I'm not taking credit for it, right? But over a billion in sales, you know, we're not making crazy income claims, but we've helped several hundred people make 6-7 figure incomes. And it's been a massive blessing helping people.
Hell yeah, man. Dozens and dozens and dozens of millionaires, hundreds of six-figure earners. Yeah. You said 76 countries?
76 countries.
Wow. Anyway, so great run the last few years, billion plus in sales, crushed it.
Yeah.
So let's talk about Forged by Fire, the concept of what the podcast is. And I know your story, you're very personally, so I know the peaks and the valleys, obviously not to the extent of your close, you know, friends. But I know there's about a year there, which we would consider to be the fire that I would argue has forged you into the leader, you know, that you are today.
Yeah.
Right. So let's go to the peak. You know, you built the most massive organization of young studs and studettes in the industry. Is this 2015 maybe?
Yeah, 2011 to late 2014, 2015.
Okay. Uh-huh. And you got a team that's how big? Like, what type of revenue are you doing?
96,000 people.
And
we went from, I called 50 friends to come to my dorm room. 25 told me they'd show up. 10 showed up. 6 said no. 4 sat through the whole presentation. Like 6 actually left my damn apartment because I was so bad. Like I was terrible, you know?
I gotta go.
Terrible.
I got homework.
And 4 stayed. Out of the 4, 2 said no. And then there was 2 people sitting there, and 2 signed up. 1 quit, 1 stayed. His name's Josh Noble. He became my top earner in that company.
Nice.
And we grew to 96,000, mostly young people around the world.
You made a million plus in that run.
Almost 2 M's. Uh-huh.
$2 million almost bucks. Earned by 25-ish.
Yeah.
No complaints there.
Yeah, a lot of fun. I feel like a billionaire.
Yeah.
You know, because we didn't have any money. Dude, I mean, I remember my first $10,000 month, you couldn't tell me anything.
What was your biggest month under 25 or 25 and under?
I think it was 107.
$107,000 not a year.
And I'm barely 24.
Which would be unbelievable for a 24-year-old to make 100 grand a year. But you had $100,000+ a month at age 24. You're top of the game.
Yeah.
You're top of the game. You're the number one under 30 builder in the industry, in my opinion, at that time. Obviously, I didn't know anyone globally, but that's when you were 24, I was 34. And at 33, I think, was my biggest year, right? So I was at the top of my game, and you were the top youngest builder in the industry, period. So what happens next? I guess from a company perspective, company runs into some challenges. Yep. It runs into some issues with the FTC or SEC?
FTC.
Sanctions, let's say, whatever you want to say, the term is come, are coming or came or whatever.
The writing was on the wall.
Right.
Yeah.
And you had to make a business decision because it was clear that there was going to be some massive changes to the company, which would drastically affect everybody's income if not completely shut down. Uh-huh. Accurate recap?
Yeah. I mean, I remember the last convention I spoke at was in Phoenix, Arizona. We still had probably 4,500 people there. My mentor, Bob Proctor, spoke there as well. And I remember walking off the stage and for the first time in my career, I did not believe the words coming out of my mouth. I was in an emotional wreck. I didn't let my team see me. And my cousin saw me. I remember texting my parents like, hey, I want you to go find another company. Like I just, something's not right. And I had a little, what do you call it? It wasn't really the best relationship with my upline just for different reasons, you know? Sure. And I just felt, I don't know, it wasn't a cocky, egotistical thing. I just got to the point at 25 where I'm like, dude, I don't need these people to propel me. And if they're gonna like do this to me and keep me down, I'm just gonna go fly somewhere else.
Yeah.
And with that came, you know, we were marketing to colleges and high schools and things we were targeting young people. Yeah. And a lot of kids were making a lot of money. And some parents were complaining and this, that, and the other. And I just kind of saw the writing on the wall. I could see the future. And I'm like, this is going to be the hardest thing I've ever done for sure at that time. But on the other, on the other side of that is going to be another level.
Yeah.
So I made the decision.
So you had the belief in yourself that even though I'm making $1 million a year at that point, because
my income fell a little bit, I was still making multiple five figures a month.
Yeah. 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 Okay. Copy. So you're $500,000 a year earner at least at 25. And instead you had no fear of, I got to protect this. This is the last, this might be the only time I ever make $500,000 or $1 million. You're like, I can do this again without anybody, not out of ego, but out of confidence. I hope I have the support of these people, but I can do this again.
Yeah.
How critically important is the self-belief in success in general, especially when things aren't working?
It's probably everything. I mean, not everything, but it's a lot. Like now I go all over the world teaching people like the belief system, right? And our belief system is created by the things we see, the things we hear, the things we experience, and just our own our course of life, right? And it's like when you build this self-confidence of like, I can prospect, I can present, I can close, I can follow up, I can overcome objections, I can speak in front of 15,000 people. You start to believe like I did it once. I can go do it.
Yeah.
I can go do it again, right? So I had a very, very unwavering belief system, and it probably came from my parents early on. I remember my mom telling me, you can be anything you want to be.
Yeah.
Like that was the stuff being programmed in my head. When I was little, my mom worked for Tony Robbins way back in the day.
Oh, I know that. That's cool.
Yeah. So like I was getting like, again, like this cheat code of parenting, even though my grades, I did okay. I have B's. I graduated high school with a 3.0, which is like a B average. But
you weren't passionate about that.
But I was told like my SAT score was trash. And my dad's like, you never let a test score define your self-worth. So that stuck with me, I'm like, okay, I'm gonna go make it happen.
Part of the story you just shared, I thought was super interesting. You actually texted your parents to go start researching stuff.
I did because I didn't know where to look
or who to trust,
and I was a little scared that as well.
Your parents aren't gonna kill your check; they're not gonna start calling. Like you text the wrong person, they're gonna leverage that.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. Yeah, I was nervous for sure.
That's definitely an interesting distinction between our stories, even though we grew up just a couple hours apart. And sounds like you were a little bit more upper middle class. You know, my mom was part-time at the hospital and my dad was the same factory as both of my grandmas and my grandpas. And my grandparents put 160 years in that factory. My dad was 44 years. So there was no reference to entrepreneurship, anything. It was just we didn't go to college. Nobody in the family went to college. You guys have to go to college. We don't know why. You know, so that's what they said. And we think if you guys go to college, you'll be more successful than us. Right. That's what everybody says. So there's definitely a core difference there. And what an awesome support system that's not just love-based, because I have that love-based support system, but you had an entrepreneurial-minded a support system that you could lean on and still do lean
on. Yeah, I mean, my parents built a life insurance agency.
Yeah.
And then they quote-unquote sold it, and they still get a decent check every single month. And I remember being a little kid with my sister going to like Cancun and Disneyland or Orlando. Yeah. And I remember this, like as a little kid, like people would come up to me and be like, you know, we love your mom and dad. They helped us, you know, get out of this job and get this car and send our kid to college. So I was like getting this, because insurance, there's a lot of similarities with insurance and, you know, social network marketing, direct sales, whatever you want.
Sure.
Yeah.
Multiple levels and sides. And yeah, I mean, it's, they're the same, except one's more career based, right?
Like, right.
Yeah. Okay. Reeling that back in. So you make this extremely difficult decision, and we talked about this beforehand. One of the hardest parts about Forged by Fire, and I didn't think about this until I started meeting with people, is that really successful people spend very little time analyzing, thinking about, reveling in the bad parts of it. Mm-hmm. Right. And it's, so sometimes it's hard to spend time talking about, but the context of this show is what's the bad parts, right? Everybody hears the good parts. 17 tips to make it. Yeah. Right? So like, let's talk about this valley. You make the decision. You have to part ways now with the company you love, the product you love, the mentor you love, mm-hmm. A huge income. Yeah. Like, let's walk through just the ripple effect of decisions, emotions, betrayals, relationships. Let's talk about all of it. Dive in.
Well, when I made the decision that this is not where I'm going to be, you know, long term, I remember we were looking at different companies, and there was one happened to be a $1 billion company, and this, that, and the other. And I remember flying to Cancun for a secret meeting. Like, don't tell anybody about it. It's going to be you, your mom, your dad, and the CEOs of this $1 billion skincare company. I just remember my emotions back then. I was nervous, man. Like, I knew like my capabilities. It's like, if you put LeBron James or Tom Brady on any team, they're going to go win. So like, I knew like, if I have the right opportunity, I'm going to go win. But like, I was just scared because my first company, like I would tell people, like, you cut me open, I was going to bleed out like that energy drink I was selling before and a half.
Bleed orange?
I mean, absolutely, right?
We used to say bleed green, so that makes sense.
Yeah, so it's like, I'm going through all of that, but I remember, I take myself back there, and I can remember, you know, I made almost $2 million in that company, right? And I remember like my checking account was south of 100 grand. I think I remember seeing like 90,000. I'm paying too much money for rent in Scottsdale, Arizona. I've gained 20 to 25 pounds of pure fat, like body fat, because I'm freaking out. Yeah, I'm stressed. Anxiety, I'm eating ice cream every night. I'm living with the wrong girl, obviously my ex-girlfriend. Stressed as hell, crying myself to sleep. And I remember like being on my knees, like praying, right? And I know we talked off camera, you know, I grew up, you know, Jewish, and now I'm very, very spiritual. I believe in God 100%. I remember like literally praying to God, like, if you give me one more chance, like, I'm going to do it the right way, all humility, no ego. I remember even like telling like God, like, I won't even post my, because back then it was like businessforhome.org, posting your income and all this shit. I'm like, I won't even post my income on that stupid ass website, right? And I've never done it. Like, just give me an opportunity, man. Like, please.
The site is the biggest sleaze show.
I know.
In the history of running.
It's yeah. It's like a whole other podcast.
Yeah, fine. So
it's like, I tell people, like, my relationship with God, my belief in myself, and then personal development is what got me through that. It was over 12 months, because I was in that second deal for 12 months and I wasn't going on. They had me by the balls with this contract. They like basically told me, if you leave, because your name is big, your brand is big, we will ruin you financially. Yeah, that was pretty much the messaging. So I'm like, okay, well, I'm not going to leave.
Yep.
So through that course, man, I was leaning on personal development. And throughout this season of my life, my biggest mentor outside of my parents, Bob Proctor, I was written off. Like, don't call me, don't text me. He made a video.
Bob did.
He made a video. I've never shared this on a podcast. He compared what I did to that company. He used the example, ready for this one? Pearl Harbor.
Oh my
God. I swear to God, it went to 100,000 distributors in the company.
Which contextually makes no sense.
I remember getting that. I got sent a video to me.
It'd have to be leaving the United States. It wouldn't be outside. Anyways,
okay. Listen, man. I remember being in our Vegas house. I'm like trying to like pre-launch this new
video. I didn't know this.
And I think somebody in my family is like, hey, you should see this video because you're going to get it sent to you like 500 times.
There's no way I can go past this without knowing how the hell this repairs because...
Oh, it repaired.
Well, I know it does. I know it repairs because you guys are obviously very close, right? But to his death, does he just call you one day and apologize?
It's hard for me to remember. I think it was a text message. And the way he texted, he would always say something and then he would write like dot, 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 and then another statement. And I think when we reconnected... It was a very like subtle and short, like just.
Reach back out to him first, or did he reach back out to you? And the reason why I say this,
I don't know, man.
Okay.
I should know, but I don't think I remember.
Because if it's you to him, it's extremely humble of you. Not humble. I would have been so resentful.
You know what? I think what happened was somebody shared with him my newfound success again. And I think it was him. And he was saying,
congratulations. Okay.
And then let's get on the phone. And we spoke. But I remember like when I watched the video, I was in the laundry room in the Vegas house. I remember watching it. I literally fell to the floor and I was just bawling my eyes out, man. And I had like leaders in the living room. And I'm thinking, this is like,
your
like
hero.
Like literally hero. Yeah. I was going to say hero. And I'm like, this is just it couldn't be worse. And on top of that, people are tweeting me on Twitter. I hope you and your family die in a car crash. Real tweets. And then this thing went viral. It was on the Today Show. And like, because I was the biggest brand face of the whole deal, my face was on the side of the Phoenix Suns arena. Dude, I was getting all of the blame. And I'm a 24-year-old kid, man. And like, it was a rough season.
Well, as the owner of a large company, the owner's responsible for what he allows to go on in his company. And there's nobody to blame when there is precedence that is being, as salespeople always operate in the gray, period. And as the owner, if you don't know the ramifications of your salespeople operating in the gray, or you turn a blind eye, that's the owner's fault. He could have stopped a bunch of that stuff earlier.
Yeah, it was collective. And now we're super good friends. Like, BK is one of the best guys.
Circling back to Bob Proctor, I had no idea the story. He needed to call you back up and apologize.
But he did. It was 18, 24 months later. And then we reconnected. I went to his home in Toronto.
Right.
We went to dinner and... he told me like, you're one of my best students ever. So, but he got misinformation. That's what it was. He was getting told things that weren't true and he was buying.
Well, he should have called you and said, is this true? Is this not true? What's the story behind this? Well,
kudos. It motivated me even more.
Well, let's talk about that. Kudos to you for forgiveness. This is actually really cool that you shared the emotional aspect of this is how it created really sadness. This part created sadness in this part, but on the opposite side is it creates a chip.
Right? Oh, dude. I still tap into it today, to be honest with you.
Okay.
I mean, I remember, so Alex Morton resigns. Everyone knew about it. The next week they have a conference call. It was on freeconferencecall.net or HD something, like what the old school stuff.
Yeah.
Number one earner the company gets on. I'll never forget it. And he said, quote, 45,000 callers. Like I remember listening to it with my dad on the couch. It was either Alex Morton or little Alex Morton will never be able to do it again. And it was basically saying like, he's a product of our system. Forget he even existed. Let's move on. And I remember, I still hear that voice in my head and that shit still drives me to this day. So I went to a, like Tim Grover, mutual friend. He coached Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant, blah, blah, blah. He talks about dark energy, like tapping into the dark side.
Yep.
Dude, I went fucking dark side. Like I went ballistic. Like from 2016 till COVID shutdown, dude, I was on a flight every 72 hours. I didn't care. Nothing else mattered to me in my existence except you know, I know people say you don't want to prove people wrong, but like I wanted to shove my success so far down certain people's throats that, and it drove me to do it. And people say, oh, it should be love and it should be empathy. You need to have love and empathy too. But if you're listening to this and you need to like, you know, you need to really make some changes in your life, it's okay to tap into the dark side. I think that sometimes that pushes me even more than the light side.
Well, not necessarily the context of the show, but we're here. Let's talk about it. So I was always driven from a negative energy to succeed or to win or to grow, right? So, and you know, I was actually going to like relationship counseling with my ex-wife, and I had a two-hour session with this lady. This lady's famous out here in Miami. And she says to me, she says, pain equals success. I'm like, what are you talking about? She goes, that's your wiring. You just take anything that's painful, you don't acknowledge it, and you just go turn it into successful. You're just gonna say fuck you to everybody. Mm-hmm. I said, wow, that's really interesting. And I said, so the opposite of that is, can you get to a point where you can create something where love equals success? And I analyzed that and I said, okay, if I look back through everybody that I've ever led, almost all of them will say the same thing. I learned so much from them. You know, best leader I ever learned from, or driver, strategic, but he was an asshole, or he was mean, or he was like, right? So I didn't have a coaching strategy that allowed for the empathetic side, the love side, the, you know, you try to think of the coach that would, you know, represent that, versus I was more like Bill Belichick, let's say. Uh-huh. And you know, I kind of went deeper on that. I'm like, man, Steve Jobs, the next generation won't know this, but I think, you know, maybe 35 and up knows everyone hated Steve Jobs. Mm-hmm. Everyone around him hated him. He was a tyrant and he was not loved at all, but the guy changed the world.
Right.
Then you have a guy like Richard Branson, where he also changed the world his way and everybody loves him. Uh-huh. So there's a way to do it, right? I've spent the last 6 years trying to figure out how to lead in a new way and get great results without being old Nick. It's like new Nick versus old Nick. Mm-hmm. It's been a challenge. It's been a real challenge. So it's interesting as you talk about tapping, and you say, I still do today, how much of it has changed to a different version of Alex? How much is still, you know, using that, the dark side to push you, to drive you, or a negative driver as opposed to a positive driver?
Yeah, I mean, I would say it's mostly the light side now.
Yeah.
And I think when you get to a place of like actual financial freedom and abundance, it doesn't, you know, you just feel like better.
Yeah.
Like when you can take care of your family and give your parents money every month and just do what you things you want to do, like you leave a lot of that over there. However, I still have that, that switch, man. And like, I'll hear certain rumblings about different companies saying this and that, and I'll use it. Like, I still do use that because I'm not where I want to be. None of us really are. Right? We're always looking for more growth and expansion and more service to the world and making a positive difference, all these different things. So most of it is from love. Like I do operate from a place of love. Like if somebody even wants to leave my organization, you can interview them. It's like, I don't attack them like I used to anymore. Keep me updated on your success. I wish you and your wife happiness and health and wealth and go crush it. You know, I was talking to one of my guys yesterday, literally. He made over $1 million with me, went to another deal. He's doing well over there as well. And it's literally love you, brother, on WhatsApp, right? But however, when I need to turn it on, like before I get on a stage or we need to really get momentum going, like before Christmas comes, like I get on a Zoom call with the whole company, I can always tap back into that. I think that's important. I think there's got to be a balance. I really do.
Yeah.
You know, Richard Branson, it's incredible. It's unbelievable. And obviously Steve Jobs is incredible and unbelievable, but I think there's got to be some level of a mix there sales and leadership.
Yeah. I think the I don't know why I didn't reference this part because really the last part of this, can you be personally happy leading from the negative side as opposed to the positive? That's actually the end of that whole piece. And I totally bonked on actually sharing the most important part, because You know, was Steve Jobs ever happy? I don't know. Richard Branson looks like a happy motherfucker.
Big time. Oh, dude, he's kite surfing at like 78.
You know, did Kobe Bryant ever look happy? I don't know. You know, so, you know, it's an interesting thing that I always ask myself is, I know I can go back to old Nick. I can flip a switch, go back to old Nick, and I can create results everywhere. But I don't know if I or anyone else would be happy if I do that.
Right.
Right. That's my personal struggle. So I'm actually picking your brain. It's probably less for everybody watching. It's more for me right now. So this is really interesting to me to hear your thoughts on this.
You know, and it's interesting you say that because I look back at like when we were really hitting it hard in 2016, 2017, where everyone was like, if this shit's going to fail, it's not going to go. I was angry a lot. I was upset, angry, pissed. And I guess in the moment, I didn't really even realize it because I was so focused. But when I look back on my like emotional frequency, I was definitely just like, let's rip their heads off and fuck.
Let's conquer.
That's it, you know?
But
the question you asked, I don't know. Because if you're holding that emotional vibration, I don't know if you can be in a state of pure bliss.
It's interesting, isn't it?
Joy,
yeah.
Happiness.
I don't know, man.
That's why it mixes.
I don't know. So, okay. During the valley, you may have actually shared it, but I want to make sure. What was the low point of that valley, that year before you come out and go start crushing it again? Was it the call with Bob? Was it something else? Was it one of your best friends going a different way? What was the low point of that?
It was probably a mixture of the mentor that took me from $400 a month to where I was, the personal and public attacking on my character, right? Like, not like, oh, he's not a good network marketer. No, it was like, he's a bad human.
Right.
Like, he's ruining people's incomes. These people have kids and Alex Morton left. And then it gets shut down 2 weeks later. Like, you know, fuck this guy. Like, so that, all of that, being unhealthy and overweight, and just being stressed the hell out, man. Like, and I'm not going to sit here and say like, I knew 100% where I was going. I did know 100% where I was going. However, that doesn't mean I didn't have self-doubt at times, or I would be in the shower and have like minor panic attacks and start sweating and stuff. Cause I'm like, listen, man, like when you go rock bottom to rock star back to rock bottom, it's like Eric Thomas says it. It's like, it's almost better to stay broke because if you're broke and you get a taste of this and you have to go back, it's more painful. And I would agree with that. So like I tasted I can spend $1,000 a night on a hotel. I can go eat at Mastro's or Nobu. And you know, I didn't grow up doing that. I never flew first class until I started making money. We flew Southwest Airlines growing up. It was economy all the time.
You guys flew? We fucking drove. We drove.
Greyhound bus.
We drove to Disney World, bro.
Right. So it's like, some of that was in the back of my mind. Like shit, dude. Like I can't go get a job. Like this has to work.
You're unemployable.
Yeah. And what happened was after that first company, a lot of the 20 something six figure earners, most of them left the industry and did their own stuff and got jobs. And I could not go do that.
Yeah.
Right. So I had to build not only again from scratch. Like I didn't bring anybody from that first company into where I'm at, you know, now today, 7.5 years later in the same deal. So,
well, that's a hell of a fire. So
yeah,
blaming for a company's failure, a global legendary icon calling you out. I didn't know that part of the story.
Yeah, like that's, publicly posted it.
Wild. The tears, anxiety, health.
Yeah.
And then there's the financial piece. You're going back to zero in income and you know, got to go rebuild something. So, but you said, you're able to channel the energy. You had the chip.
Oh yeah.
So what happens? Take me to the, we kind of talked about it earlier, but let's go to it again. You make a business decision. You find the right company that's the right fit for you at the right time. And you guys make a 5-year run, let's say, is that about right?
So our first, the first convention I ever went to was in Dallas, Texas. I'm still living in Arizona. I go to Dallas for the weekend and I really see there's like 800 people in the room and I'm thinking like, okay, if I really like smack this thing hard, this can become a big deal. And I go back to Phoenix, Arizona on a Sunday night. Monday morning, I wake up. Within 24 hours, I take my car. I break the lease. I return it at the BMW dealership. I had to pay a penalty. I break the lease on our condo early. I have to pay a penalty. This is a true story. I take $2,000, put it in an envelope, and I give it to my ex-girlfriend. And I say, we can't do this anymore. So within 24 hours, I literally break everything in my life. I call my cousin, Case, and I say, you're flying to Phoenix if you want to. We're gonna get on a plane and we're gonna go build this business all over the world, and we're gonna go as hard as humanly possible. And two things are gonna happen. We're either gonna become one of the biggest stories in network marketing in the last, whatever, 30 years, or, you know, I'm gonna probably just die. Try, man. I mean, real story.
I ain't going home.
I shipped all my clothes and shit to my parents' house in Vegas, and that was it. And we took off. And I mean, it's all documented. It's on YouTube and Instagram. Like, we went 76 countries and just took, I mean, we just went completely apeshit, and it worked, thank God. But it was a lot of work ethic, man. It was a lot of just, like, I mean, pain, dark energy. I was angry and upset, but I had so much like hate going on in me, because it blew my mind how like tens of thousands of people can love and adore you on a Monday. And on Tuesday, literally like a spawn of Satan. I mean, these were real comments.
Yeah.
So I'm like, you know what, dude? I'm going to show all of you who I am.
It also goes, it says a lot about the industry of direct sales networking and the mindset of the spare timer that's in the organization, right? Just easily influenced one way or the other. Just easily influenced one way or the other, you know? So it's part of the industry that I really am not a fan of, for sure. So let's shift into the last, you know, 5-10 minutes here. Obviously, you hit it out of the park the last 5 years. What are the main attributes, skills, you know, soft skills, hard skills, mindset? What do we need if I'm a solopreneur, entrepreneur, sales professional watching this right now, that I've got to master if I'm gonna make millions?
So I'll give it to you in a formula.
Okay.
It was like a newfound thing. I actually taught it in Lima last night or two nights ago for the first time, like on a whiteboard. Cause I was just thinking about like, okay, like what's going on here? And it's like momentum equals the spiritual side of success. That's the first component, right? Okay. So when I say spiritual side of success, a lot of this was Bob Proctor getting into my head for, you know, 11 years until he passed away during COVID, right? And it's the self-image. It's the things that people hear, but they don't really dive into. You know, having a positive mental attitude, building a self-image. Wow, Alex, what's a self-image? Well, how do you see yourself? What do you think about you? I heard you say certain things on, I used to listen to your training calls with your six-figure earners. I remember you would say, who are you before you pick up the phone, right? And that's what you're saying is, what the hell do you think about yourself, right? So it's building your self-image, and it's not seeing yourself where you are today as a broke guy in Miami or Lima, Peru, or a broke girl in Stockholm, Sweden. It's like, no, where do you see yourself in 24, 36, 115 months down the road? Because that's what I did. You know, everything I teach, just like you, it's like, these are the things that made me who I am today. Like, even though I was a broke college kid eating ramen noodles, I saw myself as a millionaire.
Yeah.
Right? And that also encompasses your goals. Like, writing down I tell people, get super clear on your goals and write them down in present tense. People say, well, I want more money. But it's like, if you gave someone 10 bucks, it's like, it's not what you want. So get clear. Like, what do you want? Like, I'm a big believer.
I want to get in shape.
Right.
Round shape? Pear shape? Round shape?
Right. It's like, what does that look like? You know? So I'm a big like visual person, you know, like staring at the condos I wanted to live in, staring at the cars I wanted to drive, staring at the places I wanted to travel to. So the spiritual side has nothing to do with the physical side. It's spiritual, but everything in this beautiful home started in the mind of somebody else.
Yep.
So it's like, where does your goal start? In your mind, build it in your mind first, then you're going to see it. So momentum equals spiritual side of success plus mastering the skills. So people listening to this, what are the skills? Well, it depends what industry you're in. Like, I'm assuming no matter what you're doing, you're gonna have to become a master communicator. You're gonna have to be able to speak to people. Even if you're building everything online, eventually it's gonna be a Zoom. Yeah. It's gonna be a FaceTime. It's gonna be a solar Zoom call to a Starbucks meeting, something like that, right? So it's becoming a master communicator. It's becoming a great speaker. It's becoming a great, you know, leader. Like, leadership is a skill you can learn too. I wasn't born a leader. Like, study John C. Maxwell. Like, learn laws of leadership. Like, learn these things, right? So it's mastering the skills, how to prospect, present, close, follow up, overcome objections. And I tell people, listen, in school, when you study hard, you get a little like letter grade on your exam. But in business, in sales and leadership, whatever it is you're doing, once you master these skills, that will make you rich. Like whether it's lotions, like I went from vitamin drinks to energy drinks to weight loss shakes to skincare. My second company, even though I didn't stay long, we still broke records.
Yep.
You know, we still did whatever the hell we did, 800,000 in sales the first 27 days, whatever the hell it was. And it was in face cream because it didn't matter because we mastered the skills. And then you're going to multiply that by changing the paradigm. So momentum equals spiritual side of success plus mastering the skills multiplied by changing the paradigm. And changing the paradigm controls everything in our lives. And these are like the things you talk about with the files in our minds and the things we were told by our mom and our dad and our grandparents and our teachers and our professors, all this limiting belief bullshit that holds 97% of people walking around, holds them back. And it's changing that. So when you do those three things, and that takes time, by the way, and I would say, well, Alex, how do you change the paradigm? Well, number one, something crazy happens to you and it's an emotional impact, like walking on fire at Tony Robbins, or your business gets burnt to the ground, or you lose your home, or you get a crazy divorce and shit goes nuts. You have a heart attack, like emotional, like nuclear bomb goes off in your life, or something that probably would be a little bit more enjoyable for you is the constant spaced repetition of information, which leads me to personal self-development, which I consider myself, I don't know, I'm just obsessed with this
stuff.
Like I find myself eating lunch and dinner and I'll watch podcasts and I'll watch speeches. And like, I don't know, like I'm a sports fan and stuff. I'll watch some stuff and I'll go to the movies with my wife. But like Alex, what do you want to watch? I'm like, fuck, dude, I want to watch Bob Proctor. It's like, I just love it, you know? So you do that enough, you program yourself the right way. You program yourself the right way, you're gonna go win. So again, spiritual side of success, mastering the skills. By the way, mastering the skills, find someone in your industry making 100 grand a year or 100 grand a month and just fucking do it. That's what I did with you and Roberti and Holton Bugs and a couple other people. I'm like, shit, they're making lots of money. So if I do what they're doing, and if they did it, if somebody did it in 10 years, if I double the work ethic, I can do it in probably 5 years. And then change your paradigm and you'll go win.
Yep. So we've actually never talked about this. Because at 36 or 37, I reverse engineered how I thought I succeeded into kind of six pillars. But the overarching philosophy is, I'll put it the opposite direction because you said momentum equals. So your dream life equals, or your results equals mindset plus skill set times leadership.
There you go.
So it's interesting that they're almost all of that overlaps where we bucket paradigm. I just bucket it in a different place.
Right.
But and you bucketed leadership under skills. So for me, it's like mindset plus skill set times leadership equals your results, right? And what's mindset? You know, the things that you can't measure,
right?
Or that you can't touch, you know, attitude, your belief. And the first thing I tell people is the number one characteristic of mindset is self-belief, belief in self. You just said the exact same thing. For skills, I'd say the number one is influence.
Right.
Right. So whether that is a presentation or a phone call, or because everything you want's on the other side of influence. And then if I was looking at it through your perspective, I would have said then, okay, leadership's also influence, right? So,
right.
But yeah, it's really funny how two people, that have made tens of millions of dollars come up with almost identical formula that's personal to themselves.
Right.
That we didn't take from each other or anyone else, right? It's like, you're like, oh, I was just writing this down. It's like, oh, it's almost identical. And that should tell people a lot of things, which is, most successful people probably have very similar thinking and philosophies of, you know, what success is.
Of course. And they do.
Yeah.
Like I love to study people outside of sales and leadership. Like I love to break down like Kevin Hart on a podcast, or people like Diddy, or people like Mark Cuban. And like when you listen to all their stories, or Kris Jenner did a masterclass I watched on a flight one time, and she talked about how she saw all of her daughter's careers before in her mind.
Yeah.
Like, what is that? Well, that's the imagination. What is that? Well, that's spiritual. I mean, it's all there. That's the thing, man. It's like you take anybody who's done anything of any consequence most of the times the ingredients of that cake they baked is going to be a lot of the same stuff.
Yep, I agree. Some of the books, what are not recently, because the recent books we read are a reflection of where we're at currently in our life. So top five, no specific order, or at least five, 3 to 5 over the last 15 years for you.
Okay, You Were Born Rich, Bob Proctor.
Okay.
Think and Grow Rich, The Magic of Thinking Big. There was actually a book
called— That's Norman Vincent Peale?
That or David Schwartz.
Okay.
Self-Made in America, which is actually by my mom's mentor. She worked for a company called Visible Changes. His name is John McCormick. He's probably worth, $500 million. And he wrote a book called Self-Made in America. What is it? Unleash the Power Within, Tony Robbins.
Yep.
There's so many, man.
Who do you love right now in the podcast world?
That's my thing. Like I was going to say, I rather listen.
Yeah, I listen now.
Like I don't really read that many books. Like U Square, Price Pritchett.
I only listen to books on 2x speed. That's it.
Right, because it gets in faster.
Except 50 Cent, I had to listen at 1.5 because I couldn't understand what that was saying.
Yeah.
Let me slow this shit down.
Curtis Jackson.
Yeah.
A lot of the people, like if you pulled up my YouTube, a lot of it, I don't know, right now I'm really doing a good job of modeling after people that have what I want in all aspects.
Yep.
So like someone that I've grown a decent friendship with, not a close friendship, but like Rob Dyrdek, right? We met during network marketing because his wife was in, I think, Vima at one point. Anyway, I look at Rob and I'm like, okay, you know, father, husband, $400 million net worth. I haven't had a carb in 3 years.
Yeah. There's a level of OCD there that is
unprecedented. No, it is. No, he spoke at the thing.
Well, that's I didn't know that.
I didn't either.
When he started breaking shit out, I was like, whew.
No, it's too much.
There's a level of intensity there, but if you and your family are happy, then it's what works.
Exactly.
Right? And because we talked about this briefly. I lived next door to Rob when I moved to California.
Right.
And I was 20 and broke. And there's like three of us in the five of us in the 3-bedroom apartment. You had to drive underneath his house. He lived in a row house. So it's like this. And then he lived in the one that was connected to the two next to it. And we would drive underneath his house.
Wow.
To go to our apartment. Well, my front door to his front door was 20 yards.
Wow.
And I'm like, this guy's got a $100,000 Mercedes. This is 1999, maybe the year 2000. And I'm like, who the hell is this guy? He looks like a drug dealer. Mm-hmm. You know? So we're wearing the suits and we're broke. We're like, this guy's just like dressed down.
Oh, he's a maniac.
Yeah. So finally I'm like, what do you do? It's like, I'm a professional skateboarder.
Yeah.
Brings me inside, shows me his skateboard wheels and his action figure. I'm like, what the fuck? From Ohio, like you.
Yeah, Ohio.
Yeah.
And I was with one of my friends and also a mentor last week, and he told me, I won't say his name, but like they had the same, he said, yeah, me and Rob had the same net worth 10 years ago. And he said, Alex, between, it was like 10 million or 15. And he goes, Rob's now over 400.
Jeez.
In the last 10 years, right?
He's
this machine mindset he does.
Yeah. Is that the name of it?
That's his thing.
That makes sense.
Machine mindset.
Machine mindset.
So I listen to people that have, you know, kind of what I want. And then another really big one for me, probably like my number one right now, is Ed Milet.
Yeah.
And he seems like a person that does really lead from love at this point. And just everything he's done in his career. And I look at him and I'm like, you know what? He made his like, quote, smaller fortune in like what I was doing.
Network marketing.
Like WFG, you know what I mean? So it's like, how did he like take that
parlay
and apply it and all that? Patrick Bed David.
Yeah.
That guy's half the time, he's so intellectual. I don't even know what he's talking about, man. Like this guy's brain, he knows everything about history.
He's gonna run for politics.
Yeah, for sure. That's what he said no for.
Yeah.
So I would say those individuals for the most part, but I still go old school, man. Like I can't get enough of listening to my guy, you know, Bob Proctor, Paradigm Shift. I just, you know,
I got my kids watching Jim Rohn all the time. So we do on Sundays, they get their growth journals and they'll pick a topic and I'm on YouTube and I'm pulling up John C. Maxwell or whoever, just let them watch videos. Okay, great. So closing thoughts, anything you want to share that's for, you know, anyone out there watching this on anything?
I would just say, when you listen to shows like this, about success, and you hear, you know, billions and millions and, you know, being in the fire, and then it forges you, and then you go out and do great things. I think it's really important for people to understand that you really can achieve your dreams. I'm not trying to sound cliche or corny, but like, that's the truth. Because at some point, young Nick was sitting there like, okay, I think I can really do this, right? And a word I took from you, lots of things I've taken from you, but naivety, right? And I remember the same thing. I was just like, I was naive enough to believe I could. Someone told me like, hey, you could, Bob Proctor, literally.
Twice, you're not even, you could do it twice.
He said, I think you can do great in this business. And I remember saying like, you think so? I'll make $400 a month when I met Bob. And I go, you really think so? He's like, yeah. I said, okay, let's go do it. I mean, so be naive enough to think that your dreams are possible. And don't listen to all the bullshit. You know, there's a lot of crap going on in this country, countries all around the world, where they're trying to demonize personal success and, you know, demonize working hard, and obsession's a bad thing now. I'd say, no, obsession isn't a bad thing. If you're obsessed with heroin and fentanyl, it's bad. No. If you're obsessed with changing the world for making it a better place, it's a really good thing, right? Good thing. So I would just say go all in. I think there's opportunity everywhere right now, regardless of the economy and the wars going on. I think if you are in a vehicle with unlimited earning potential, you have access to great information like this, make the personal decision and stay disciplined, work your ass off, and build a great life for yourself. You can do that.
My brother, you have been forged by fire.
Let's go.
Hell yeah. Guys, episode 33 is a wrap. Alex Morton, grateful to have him here on this unbelievable 15-year journey, 16 or 16 years now?
Yeah, it'll be 13 years in the industry.
Gotcha. I always think you started 18, so you started 21.
21, okay,
so,
yep.
34. Just that.
34.
So I hope you guys enjoyed it. Where can everyone find you, by the way? Where can everyone find you?
Alex Morton Mindset on Instagram. Alex Morton Mindset on YouTube. A lot of stuff out there. Learn, grow, and go out there and make it happen.
Follow this man. Consume as much content from him as you can. He's one of the few people that put out a ton of content for free. So, and as always, if you enjoyed it, like it, share it, send it, post it. All the things, all the buttons. Make it happen. Thank you, everybody.